back. Yeah, no, we weren't just talking for way too long. Folks, I do this. You think I talk a lot on these episodes, baby. You have no idea what I put Heather through before we even press that record button, baby.
I need it.
Oh, God. She needs it. She's got it. She has it. She'll never not get enough. Folks, welcome back. We've got Heather Cunningham with us. The one, the only, the beautiful, the Aquarius herself. You're really glowing this season, aren't you, Heather?
Oh.
Oh. Oh, mercy me.
Oh, I hope.
Oh, dear. I'm embarrassing her. I'm embarrassing. You can't see it, but she's blushing. Just kidding. And it's me, folks. The one, the only, the super annoying.
Oh, my God.
But I own it, you know? Like, I think it's okay to be annoying as long as you're, like, aware. It's me, Miranda Lenski. My time will come. Literally, Pisces is on the way. But we're in Aquarius, baby. We're really in it. Peak Aquarius season. I just, this air energy, Heather, it's why it's got me extra chatty, if you can believe it or not.
I love, yeah. I love what the Aquarian eyes are. I was like,
oh, mercy.
Air in my throat because it's air season.
Yeah, because I took it all with my speaking. You have none left. She's choking. I'm just kidding. No, I know. Now I'm making Heather apologize and she didn't do anything wrong. Heather, please go on.
What was I saying? Aquarius.
The energy.
I do love the communicative air energy, and we have the Aquarius new moon tomorrow. No, the 9th.
Oh, it's on my calendar as well.
Double check. It's in 2 days on Friday because we're recording this on Wednesday. But
love, I don't know. New moon.
Also, maybe it's just my Saturn return, but I feel like we're in Aquarius season, like in the middle of it at this point. But then all the personal planets are like still in Capricorn. And I just still feel very Capricorn, unfortunately.
No disrespect to Cap.
No disrespect. It's just, it feels like the agenda. Although, no, I shouldn't. I mean, I just had a great week with like friends and people coming into town and community. But it's also like, I feel like I'm still getting my shit together, but that's probably just the Saturn return.
Yeah, and I also it's a Saturn return for Heather and I specifically. That's always going to throw you, I think, through some loops. There's a lot of just like interpersonal transformation and transition in that, in the energy itself, right? But also, I think we're still kind of in literally winter. We're in that, I know that you live in LA, Heather, but as you were saying, it's raining there right now. And it's been a little gloomy, which is a joke because New York is having like her first sunny stretch in months.
I love that for her.
And you know, and it's why I can't shut the fuck up. You know, it's just got me jazzed. And, yeah. I'm like, I want to go outside. That's crazy. It's February. But the sun will do that. She'll trick you. She will. That relentless bitch. We love her. God bless the sun. Anyway, the sun, come on the pot. Okay. I'm sorry. Anyways, but where the fuck was I going? Hey, sun, we love you. Come on the pot. And it wasn't even a good joke. And I still see that was the air in me that had to get it out and say it.
Talking about the Saturn return and about.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you.
Aquarius.
When you said the personal planets, that's what it was. Yeah, I had a question. Yeah. So again, to reiterate for me, because I need that. And for maybe some of the listeners too. Pluto, right? We've talked about this quite a bit recently because we just had this huge transition of planet Pluto moving in to Aquarius, the sign. But Pluto is not what we were referred to as a personal planet, correct?
No, the opposite. What
would we call Pluto? An interpersonal? No, I'm sorry, not interpersonal.
No, an
that's
outer
closer.
Planet.
That's the phrase for it.
Yeah, outer planet, generational planet. But I think like I guess you could say, there's like personal, then I don't don't know if, I think I have heard Jupiter and Saturn be called like interpersonal planets because they deal more with like society or like larger social things. But then the outer planets are like Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Those are like the farthest from the sun. Gotcha. Collective planet. But I think the technical astrological term is outer.
Gotcha. So it's like because they symbolically, their placement in terms of how close they are to the sun, in terms of how close they are to us, that's like the symbolisms. Like similar to, yeah, again, where retrograde is a symbolism because the planets can't actually physically move backwards. It's, yeah, our perspective from Earth. Way. Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. I just wanted to clarify that. And yes, yeah, and try to, and wanted to extra clarify what the outer planets were again. Yeah. Because I'm just trying to get that more engraved in my brain, baby.
Yeah. So if the sun is like our ego identity, it's like the most personal, mm-hmm, then it makes sense that Mars, Venus, and Mercury, which are the personal planets, never travel too far from the sun. So, mm-hmm, like, that's why when people are like, oh, I'm an Aquarius technically, but like I'm a cusp. So like I actually feel more Pisces. I'm like, you probably have personal planets in Pisces because, right, that's how it works. Like,
right,
the cusp thing.
Yes, that's so funny. There are so many people who claim to be on the cusp, and I love not like correcting them, but I love just being like, this is why it's so extra important that you believe in this.
Right.
their words, not mine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's why it's also so fun. And that's usually what gets that when I let them know that there is no such thing as being on a cusp, that there are specific degrees. And like, even me, I am a Pisces to that degree. Mm-hmm. Even the year I was born, there was like a whole other 24 hours, if not more, of Pisces after me. However, this year specifically, Aries starts on my birthday. Just, you know, for this year.
Right. So,
but however, my birth chart, like the year I was born, the placements, blah, 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 the exact time, because that is something I know. I am a Pisces sun to the degree. Like,
yeah.
No questions about it. Even though this year, technically, the sun moves into Aries on my actual birthday. So sometimes people don't realize that like the seasons can start on different days because every calendar year isn't identical.
It's not the same every year. Yeah. Right. So you can't just say like.
But that I find is for the cuspers or people who have always identified as like, I'm an Aquarius / a Pisces, for example. I'm like, no, you're one. And that's why if you do know your actual time, we should figure this out. And that usually totally sells them. Not that I'm trying to sell anyone on it, but like, that's usually the thing, especially for people who believe they're on the cusp, that makes them like, let me look it up. And then like, and then 5 minutes later, they're showing me their chart on their phone. Like,
yeah, they usually have placements in that other sign.
Right. And that's same with me too. I was just going to add, like, I have tons of, or the other day, sorry, Heather, last thing I just want to say.
No, no.
Just this past weekend, I had a fellow Pisces friend of mine. She's a March Pisces like I am. She was like, I feel like February Pisces are different. Do you feel the same? And I was like, that's really funny that you say that, because there is sometimes signs will have identities to the month they're born, which I still think the overall, you know, Pisces is there. But again, I'm like, when you're maybe a February Pisces, you have more placements in Aquarius in your chart.
Right.
I have so many Aries undertones in my chart because of how close I am Aries. Born to Aries, truly.
Yeah.
And I, for a long time, thought I was on the cusp until I understood fully that, no, I'm fully in the degree. And like you said too, Heather, you're like the full last degree of Aquarius.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering if you're 29 degrees Pisces. But yeah, I'm 29 degrees Aquarius. And they say that like, the 29th degree is like significant, or like even if you're like the last degree of a sign, it's sometimes like a vital point in that sign or the like, I don't know. They say like once you get to 29 degrees, you've like mastered that sign in past lives or whatever. So it's like, I'm not a Pisces, but I have planets there.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah,
I wonder if you're 29 degrees Pisces.
That you've mastered that sign in a past life?
Yeah.
Heather, you're blowing my fucking mind. Okay, last thing I'll say about this.
I hesitate to say that because it sounds so like no, I've mastered. But like
no, but I kind of well naturally I love that. But also, there are times that. And again, I'm very Pisces. This is something that when people say that they do not identify with their sun sign, I do not identify with that. I have always, since I've known the traits of Pisces, been like, yeah. Even when I tried to be like, no.
I feel like Pisces usually are the first ones to say that too. They're like yeah, I'm Pisces.
That's me. Yeah. I've like, make no mistake, Pisces, we're self-aware. We know how crazy we are. Just kidding. But but it's like funny because, and again, I then like getting older and learning more about Pisces, I'm like, oh, this is why you always feel like a fish out of water, or you really feel like you're seeing right. a bigger something that people aren't, and you wish there's like a loneliness to Pisces, I think, and mm-hmm. like learning more about kind of always feeling that way. And then also learning about Pisces placement in the astrological realm and what it means and sort of the order of the signs and how it's the last one. Learning so like just learning a lot about Pisces and just even feeling closer and closer to it, honestly. Mm-hmm. But there are so many moments I have, and I even get angry at myself for having them. And I think I used to always identify this with like being an only child. But there are times where I just, even when I'm like the age, when I was younger, there are times where I'm like, I've done this before. Or like, I already know what this feels like. And I would get mad at myself because I'm like, you don't though. You've never done that experience. What do you mean? Like you haven't really, like in a way that I almost, not that I like know everything. That's not what I mean. But there almost is like, and for a long time, I chalked that up to Pisces of like, oh, you just think you have this big, or you feel and experience a lot with that third eye mindset that I think a lot of this feels maybe repetitive to you, or like, but that's really funny to hear that theory about the 29 degrees. So sorry, Heather, does every sign, so there's like, when you say 29 degrees, it's like, is that the full turn of the,
there's 29 degrees of each sign in the zodiac. So, okay. After 29, you get into the next sign.
One. Okay. I see. Yeah. I see.
That's how it's broken up.
Wow. Because again, so. Like I'm trying to do a better job of thinking in like the chart and visualizing like the chart. It's so difficult though. I feel like you almost can't just like, can you, Heather, picture like a map is there just like a standard sky chart? Does that make sense? Like, because like the chart essentially holds still but rotates. Well, no, because then there's planets are moving within that. And what the fuck am I trying to say? Never mind.
I know it's so complicated. No, I mean, you could say it rotates in that like the rising like changes, and that kind of rotates the chart, and the rising sign dictates like the house placements. But it's all, if you don't have like a visual to show people, it's very confusing.
Okay,
but,
good. I'm like, yeah. You're not thinking in sky maps, are you? I'm like, I have levels and levels to achieve that. Or like, yeah.
Oh my God, no. But I remember like 5 years ago, or maybe even more recently, like I would read these books. A lot of the Liz Green books I have are like actual recordings of like seminars that she's done, and like Q&A's and stuff. And like so many people in the audience are like, oh, well, I'm 18 degrees Taurus moon, and I'm like 7 degrees Venus and Aries. And I was like, whoa, people have that memorized. And now I'm like, I have all my degrees memorized. But it's sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, I really have learned a lot more, but there's still so much to learn. I feel like I'm so not a master yet, but that's the beauty of it, is like you can learn it forever. It's great for Gemini people.
And I don't think,
no,
you,
seriously,
but no, I like, I hear you. And I think they're the beauty of like astrology too, or any science or pseudoscience, if you will, just kidding. Any science or any art form, there's a beauty in knowing that you'll never master it.
No, that's kind of why I love it. Yeah.
Right. There's always
and
more to absorb
so
or learn.
It's so complex and nuanced, and There's so much more we're still discovering too. Yeah. Like asteroids and like it's just crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Heather, but, we also oh sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh no, I didn't really have anything to say. I was gonna bring it back to the degrees. But
no, that's so, but 29 is the most. Oh yeah. Oh wait, one I do actually, well, I forgot I had a follow-up question to this. Now, when you say certain degrees, or like when people know the degrees of their placement in their own chart, yada yada, like is 20, for example, is like 29 degrees Pisces, like because that's a bigger degree than say someone who's 7 degrees in Pisces, is it like, does that also shape, do you feel like that means you have more of that sign, or like you're more, or is it more just like the degree is more like a placement, not so much like a measurement? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, how do you view it? I don't know if I'm articulating that right.
Yeah, well, there's this thing in astrology that I'm not like, and I don't focus too much on this, I'm not an expert, but they call it decans. So I like, even within the sign, they break it down into 3 different decans. So if you're like 1 through 9 degrees Pisces, you're the first deacon. And if you're like 10 through 20, and then there's 20 through 29, or, and I don't think that's even exactly correct the way I said it, but it's, yeah, but they break it into threes, and they say that there is like a different energy. I mean, when you think about like just the way the sun travels through the signs, and you like adapt the qualities of that sign as it travels, I guess there's something to be said about how like, if you're right at the beginning of Aquarius, you haven't spent as much time in it. You haven't integrated the qualities as much as if you're like 29 degrees Aquarius. But there's so much more that goes into it, like where your personal planets fall.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting.
That's thank you for clarifying that. I'm glad I asked that. That's really, the deacons are very interesting. Or, and it's just, again, it's really funny when people talk to me about that, or like, or ask me like, do you feel, is there, or like, yeah, if someone's newer to astrology, they love asking that. Or I do feel like this is something that gets discussed a lot, like the difference in the months, and the deacon thing is really interesting. I'm gonna do
even on Instagram, like astrology memes. I saw something recently that was like, you don't want to date these signs, but it wasn't just these signs. It was like a November Scorpio, January Aquarius, like whatever
about the month.
I was like, wow, but that's cool that even in mainstream like Instagram memes, we're getting way more specific. And
yeah.
While I'm saying that, let me just take this moment to get excited about the fact that SZA just, I guess she didn't release it yet, but at the Grammys, she performed her new single, which is called Saturn. And, you know, she's a Scorpio moon in Pisces. She's definitely a spiritual bitch. I think she's referenced astrology in past songs and albums. But there's a line that's like, can't break these patterns, take me to Saturn. That's not exact, but something like that. And I was living, and I love her so much. And then Kacey Musgraves is posting a song, releasing a single on Thursday, where she literally references her Saturn return. And I don't know if I've talked about how on her last album, she, in the like the little, not synopsis, the like forward or whatever, the like when you open the vinyl and there's like a blurb from her perspective, she talks about how like she was, her birthday fell on a solar eclipse, and she was like looking out into the sun on her Saturn return birthday or whatever. And she was like, the world needs more love. And she like got inspired to like write this record. And
God, it's such a good record.
Oh my God, don't even get me started.
I also have that vinyl. It's one of my favorite fucking vinyls. It's such a good album, and just like, I can play it any season, any mood. And
I have the CD in my car. It's just like, so
you have the CD in your car?
Mm-hmm. And my car is so janky that it, like, I don't have a USB cord, or like I have this like really janky Bluetooth thing that like you have to connect to the right radio station. And even then, like if it's raining, it's not going to connect. So like my CDs are precious because that's like what I can listen to at high quality, like all the time. And yeah, the Kacey Musgraves one, that'll stay in there forever.
That's amazing. Oh, don't get me going. And just like the way she talked about, that was like a very Third Eye Open album for her too, or she was very open about the psychedelics in
her.
A responsible way she took them. Yeah, she's cool. She's, or that album is just, that was like a cultural, everyone loves that album. Everyone, mm-hmm, like it's, mm-hmm, it's great.
I do feel like when I think about astrology sometimes and like celebrities and musicians and artists, I really do feel like, how do I articulate this? It's such a big thought, but like these people are like sometimes a piece of the collective, or like mm-hmm, the universe is like using these celebrities as like a vessel to like elevate us or spread a message, or I don't know. When I am taking mushrooms, that's how I feel about Kacey Musgraves. I'm like, well, yes.
It's interesting to me too, music specifically. I think music as an art form specifically, even more, obviously more than literally what other art form besides maybe, I mean, I guess just writing in general, sharing your thoughts with the collective. But music to me as an art form is so personal and vulnerable for the artist. It's
emotional that, and
right, you're really sharing, especially if you are a, I guess this doesn't go for all musical performers and creatives, but historically and most of the time, musical artists create and write their own music. And so it's very personal. That's usually the best music that's made is usually personally written by the artist. It's very personal. It's very vulnerable. And you are like sharing a piece. So to like it is to like, yeah, I feel like you are. And so it's your way to connect with the bigger collective, but also it's like a personal connection for the artist as well to like mm-hmm. have the collective agree with your music and enjoy it and have them be moved and to feel things and to, you know, yada, yada. Yeah. It's interesting with that being said. That the Grammy Awards fell during Aquarius season. Now, I don't know if they're always during Aquarius season. I feel like that's a good question.
Yeah,
but I wonder. Very interesting that this like ceremony specifically, the Grammys are always a good time, of course. But yes, like what an Aquarius like time to have those awards and then to have SZA talking about astrology and crushing it there. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's interesting. That's mm-hmm. interesting.
They say Pisces. Especially this year.
Especially this year. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, totally. They say Pisces is the sign that like rules music, which I think makes a lot of sense because it's such a, I think more than any art form, maybe dance could. But no, I think music more than any other art form is like subconscious and dreamlike. And it can, there's something like, I don't know, subterranean or just like a feeling. Like I was following this one playwright and her online like tutorial videos about playwriting during COVID. And she said like what a gift it is to like be able to write a musical or to like I could write a whole play and someone could just like strum a G chord and you feel it. Like mm-hmm. it's so, there's something so visceral and emotional and subconscious and like powerful that doesn't require much like cerebral thought or work. Like, I don't know.
That's really interesting. Well, and when I think about water in itself as an element, like running water can be so peaceful or meditative or just like it can be music or it can be, it's like it's sound. Not that air doesn't have, I guess like air, wind doesn't necessarily have sound. It does when it's, when it's moving, but it's not that you don't like feel it and can't, fire too, like the crackling and the popping of like, I guess fire itself doesn't have like sound. And then when I think of earth, though, I think of like that sound of like thunder or like a booming or even again, wind moving trees. But in terms of like water as an element, this might be too way too big of a third eye stretch. But I'm like, as you were just saying that, I'm like, water has is like a sound. It's something that like
yeah.
you can hear before you can feel sometimes even. It's also something you feel and you like immerse yourself in. And there's a
rhythm
in.
To it. And right. Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. And like it's something you can follow. Like if when you're stranded, it's like you're trying to follow the sound of water because that's like civilization. There's life there, right? It's funny when we were hiking in Switzerland, we were tipped off. We were told by a awesome, friendly he was the owner of a crystal shop there because Switzerland, they do a lot of mining. They have a lot of the mountains there have these beautiful crystals. And I was in that crystal shop every day just poking around and talking to this awesome guy who's like lived in this little village his whole life, yada, yada. And there was this hike that he tipped us off about. And he's like, you'll come. There's a beautiful waterfall. It's worth it. And we did it. And we were like, we must have gone the wrong way. Or like, we're not doing something right. We are not seeing this waterfall. He said it was so much shorter and easier than what we're like doing. And like, we were just about to give up and go back down and just like clarify, like, you know, maybe try again another day. And as we were like sitting and just like resting for a minute, because it was like all uphill, I like heard the faintest sound of like running water. And I was like, y'all rest here. I'm just gonna like walk ahead. And Heather, I cannot explain it. Maybe it was the Swiss Alps
your
air.
Pisces senses.
My Pisces senses. But I started sprinting towards this, like, it was like a guttural. My gut knew it's up ahead. It's up ahead. And I was like, do I hear water? Like, yes, my fishy senses.
Yeah, I love that.
And then I came around the corner and sure the fuck enough, it was so funny how easily hidden this mega ass waterfall was. It was so funny because it was like a huge waterfall, but it was just like perfectly hidden on our view where you really could not. You really wouldn't have known it was there. And then I had to run back and I was like, it's here. It's here. We're so close. Come on. And like, it was a beautiful moment. And I had like the wind beneath my wings and I was so alive just to like see the water. We weren't even touching it or like, it wasn't like a swimmable, but it was like, I do think there's something that's so alive about the elements, all of them in general, but it is interesting in terms of like sound, like, and like how, I don't know how to explain it, but that's really interesting to hear that Pisces is the musical touch. Cause I also do feel like a lot of artists I love are Aquarians themselves. And like, not that the Pisces that are relevant in terms of music they're like pretty big ones. We got Justin, we've got Olivia Rodrigo, we've got Rihanna, in terms of like mainstream Pisces, but
yeah, Kurt Cobain, like there's, yeah, but
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Aquarius.
I think he might've been a Cancer. Pisces moon. No, he was. You're right. Kurt Cobain was a Pisces.
And Courtney Love is a Cancer.
Sorry.
Yeah. But,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
It's just a beautiful, airy time. Music, art, the bigger collective, folks.
Yeah, I think there is an emphasis on that. Yeah. Let's get out of the work grind. Let's give everyone
more money.
And get
into the elements. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. We have got to... Yeah, running up to that waterfall. Obviously, not every day is going to be a waterfall. But, like, just the importance of... the outside world, my God. Mm-hmm, and it is, it's this really interesting age where, yes, we have, obviously, just as time progresses, blah, 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 every year is like the most advanced. We just are going to be in technology now because technology just has entered the chat and been in the chat for quite some time.
And Aquarius rules technology. So it's supposed to be even more so these next 20 years as Pluto is in Aquarius.
Yes. Thank you, Heather. And but also this, I'm like, as much as like, you know, the older generation, I get it. There's times I have an ache for even the younger generation because I'm like, forget technology. They don't know a world without social media. This is just like such a real entity. But like, even though we were, you know, we're 90s babies, technology was pretty advanced for that time in terms of technology. There, you know, there's memories I have of that element of still getting outside and playing. And it's, mm-hmm. but it's just really interesting that I feel like, you know, technology means we're going to get lazy, or we're going to get, we're not going to be needed anymore. The human race is going to degenerate. As technology has progressed, I kind of feel like that could not be farther from the truth. It's because of this technology. It's because of so many social platforms and elements. I feel that we are
should be
more
able to,
connected.
Yeah, be yes. more human. Totally.
And
yeah.
I think our generation, humans are like the healthiest we've ever been because of the knowledge we have and how like, serious we are about that, how much just knowledge there is out there for us, things we were never taught as kids that we're now like, why the fuck wasn't this taught, and like it should be taught. And mm-hmm. the knowledge, I feel like as a big collective has never been like we are thirsty for it. I feel like everyone I know is trying to learn more, understand more. And it's like, we have the resources to do that with technology. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really kind of wild being in a place where technology is really advanced, that it's so scary. But also I feel like humans have never been more strapped with like understanding, connecting, talking about shit that scares us. And like, because we are so connected, I think there is a way where we will not let, I just still think we've learned so much of the importance of the human touch, even with technology being as advanced as it is right now.
And it's happening right on time. When mm-hmm. you look at it astrologically, it's almost like it's meant to be, like,
literally.
Hello, Pluto's entering Aquarius now. It is time for technology to work with us and like bring us back to, mm-hmm. humanity. Not saying there might not be some obstacles and hiccups, right?
I do think for the greater, it's like beneficial. It's the same way, like, I know I compare technology a lot to social media, but I feel like social media was always the thing that was really talked about when we were a lot younger, of like, we don't know the effects of this, we don't know the long term. But it's like, I do, while we can understand and see a lot of the negatives of social media, we've also seen a lot of social media die. Things that don't serve us as a community anymore are falling off. The whole collective getting bored with something, or just mm-hmm. getting like, this is bullshit. We're so tired of seeing the highlights and like what's we want. It's like, weirdly, again, social media, I feel like, has become more authentic and real than it has since it started.
I agree. Yeah.
And for that's sure. a really beautiful thing, because I think we changed that as a collective. We changed what was important to us and like the matters. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
connecting with more people who you like, even if they're not just ideas, there's people sharing them. We're just talking. We are mm-hmm. connecting, and there are strength in numbers. There's knowledge, because there's strength in there's power in that as well. And then there's always the knowledge is just like, you know, following suit. It's really fascinating to me. And you're absolutely right, Heather. So sorry. Last thing I'll say about this. Like, when you look at astrology, call it a pseudoscience. I say that right? A pseudoscience all you want, bitch. Yeah. Call it that all you want. Okay. Because exactly. However, it's almost like if you're paying attention to astrology and the movements that are here to come, this shit is already written out. It's literally mm-hmm. already in the stars. It's crazy to me how aligned this is mm-hmm. with like the astrology timeline and mm-hmm. sort of like, and not that we, you know, can necessarily tell the future, but when you understand the overall bigger themes and how aligned those have always been in our mm-hmm. history with mm-hmm. the fucking movements of so many things, that's when this shit starts to really feel like it's just, again, when you make the simple observations. We are not saying that because Pluto entered in Aquarius, this is what's going to happen. Like, that's not it. It's more just like, it's interesting when you look at observations and where the last time Pluto entered in Aquarius was, where we were at as a society, what was going on, and a lot of how that, now that it's returned again to Aquarius, maybe a lot of issues from that are now ready to be changed as we move forward again.
Yep.
It's a beautiful reset, and we've been dying for one. Like, mm-hmm. you cannot make this shit up. The
you
energy
really
is
can't.
There.
You really can't. You really can't.
Thank you for reminding of this.
America's having its Pluto return. Like, and if you just like look at your own life and what happens during the Saturn return and like coming back into your authentic, like it's all just, it's all cyclical. It's all, that's how life is. It's beautiful. I like wanted cycles, to ask baby. You oh, about sorry, your yes, feelings please. About fate, but we have like 2 minutes before we have to move on.
I know we have to move on.
And that's too loaded of a question. But
and I'm also like, and yeah, I feel like you probably know my take.
Yeah. I'm comforted by it, but a lot of people aren't. But I think about it a lot.
Yeah, I just, it's like you just said, to keep it like short, the more I understand that, I think I used to be so, I used to be someone who really chased a constant state of peace, happiness. In order for me to be happy, everything has to be right. Everything has to be good. Everything has
in
to be
control,
perfect.
Like,
in control of the perfect. And it's like, oh, you get peace when you let go and understand that things are just always going to be in ebbs and flows. Everything is a cycle. Nature is a cycle. We are human beings. We are a cycle. We are part of nature. The more you let go, I feel like, and remind your human conscience and existence that, not that you're not special, but that you as an individual, I think the more I let go, the less I try to control, the more I'm reminded I am a part of a bigger something, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And fate to me has become much bigger. Maybe it's my old age, because again, I don't consider myself religious in the textbook sense, in the Bible sense necessarily.
Yeah.
I do over the years, though, I've become so much more spiritual, and that all just kind of grew with my own interest in astrology. What about you, Heather? Sorry, I know
I'm like comforted by it. I see it as protection. I agree with everything you said. Yeah.
The short woo-woo answer.
Yeah, yeah.
All the like spiritual girlies on TikTok are like, not to get too woo-woo with this. And I've been like saying that all the time now too.
Oh my God, story of my life.
But I love that because I love the, like, I think a lot of people, you know, I hear myself. I know how a lot of people can believe about fate, spirituality, astrology. I know how it sounds, but just the littlest observation and dipping your fingers in, you'll see.
Yeah.
And with that, Heather, shall we?
Yes.
Oh, Heather, speaking of Aquarius and Pisces, quite the chart we have on our hands today.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I have been wanting to cover this person. I think even last year I wanted to cover her because I love Aquarius. I'm biased. I think that, you know, we're also in this Aquarius period with Pluto in Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, yada, yada, yada. I love what it stands for. Progression, the future, big ideas coming together, humanity. But oh boy, I started watching or listening to, it's called The Astrology Podcast recently, and they go really in depth. It's an amazing podcast, and they have these episodes where they cover each sign, and they bring on an astrologer that has a heavy emphasis in that sign, and they just do a deep dive into it, and the episodes are like 2.5 to 3 hours long, and it's like amazing. And I watched the Aquarius one recently. Nice. And you know, I thought I knew all there was to know about Aquarius, but it's always good to go back to the basics. And they were talking a lot about how Aquarius has big ideas and almost shoots itself in the foot sometimes by like having the big ideas and being so idealistic, but like not having that Capricorn sort of reality function, or like Aquarius likes to think its way out of things, or like cut corners through, like, if I can just like think, it's also like the inventor. So like, if I can just think of like an inventive way to like figure out this issue, that I don't have to do all the like Capricorn work, you know, or like... So at that, I really got me thinking. And then I thought about the one person who I was like very upset to hear that they're an Aquarius. And that is Elizabeth Holmes.
The one, the only.
Who's in prison now, apparently she's good buds with Jen Shah, who's a Real Housewife, who is a super big problem, and they're in prison together. Anyway, but Elizabeth Holmes, bless her heart. Yeah.
That just made me choke.
Jen Shah committed like a huge credit card fraud empire. But Elizabeth Holmes, I think, had good intentions. Mm-hmm. She basically, yeah, is like a scientist slash entrepreneur.
Right.
Had this idea to innovate the healthcare system through creating this piece of equipment called... Well, the company is called Theranos, and I think the equipment was called Edison after Thomas Edison.
Right.
She was very inspired by Thomas Edison, who created the light bulb. And anyway, this piece of equipment was supposed to be something that people could buy at like Walgreens and bring home with them. And it basically tests your blood and can diagnose you so that you don't have to worry about having a good, you know, healthcare or... jump through all these hoops to like go to a doctor, which has only become more and more of a problem, right, obviously, over the years. So like really amazing. And she had this way that there's a HBO documentary that I highly recommend that follows her whole rise and fall. And she had this way of like really convincing everyone, even though she didn't have the product and couldn't show people how it worked,
right,
she could like explain the idea to people and got so much backing and funding, and like everyone like worshipped her for a while in Silicon Valley. But she also is this like Aquarius, early Aquarius, who is very robotic, really wanted to be Steve Jobs,
right,
like would only wear black turtlenecks. And she changed her voice to like sound more masculine and be taken more seriously. So like there's interviews where you hear her talking in her normal voice and she sounds like me. But then every time she's giving a presentation or like doing something important, she talks like this, like I am Elizabeth Holmes. And it's like weird. And there's like a weird robotic Aquarius thing going on with her. Like she like kind of seems like a robot. Very strange lady. Very quirky Aquarius. But anyway, basically,
but the Pisces
like
moon
she,
ideas were there.
I know that too. But like, so she saw this like grand plan. Like she,
yeah, like,
you know, envisioned
worth,
this thing.
Yes. For what it's worth, I was going to say, like, it's a beautiful idea and like would have been
is.
A great invention. I'm also like, probably, I'm wondering how expensive it would have been. Like, again, like the idea was there, but I guess it would have been a privately owned like product, so that she probably, you know, would have made shit tons of money off
profited,
of. Right.
Yeah.
But again, if her idea and intention was to like not jump through the loopholes, I'm sure she would have gotten a lot of backlash if it was like super expensive. But yeah, to.
She wanted it to be affordable. Yeah. But it just
okay,
like.
Cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was like a part of it. But yeah, the idea is not bad.
No, it's not at all. It's a great idea. That's why so many people were like worshiping her,
right,
for a second. But then, she just could not build a machine that was able to handle like all those blood tests. Mm. Like it got to the point where like she bought the patent for it. She had this like $9 billion or I don't know. I'm not going to say numbers, but she had like so much backing and money from people. And it was like a shit show, kind of like the Fire Festival, because she didn't actually have
it. She just had an idea.
The product. And she had all these like, and the documentary is so cool because it shows like the employees who are actually like in the warehouse.
I just
building
wrote
this
the,
thing.
I just wrote a note to myself to watch the, while you were,
it's
while you
so
said
good.
That, I like made a little note on my phone to watch it. Cause
it's so
I'm
good.
Intrigued.
It's by the same filmmaker who did the Scientology documentary and Going Clear. And yeah,
very nice.
It's so interesting. But I just looked up the natal chart of Thomas Edison, because she looked up to Thomas Edison so much because he invented the light bulb, but
he didn't.
He said he like he said he built the light bulb before it was actually before it actually worked. And
that's right. I'm also thinking, luckily, my apologies, when I meant he didn't, I forgot, because the whole side tangent, when you this was something I recently learned, very Elon Musk of her, right, to name this equipment the Edison, in like to honor Edison in that way. Whereas like Elon Musk, that's the whole name of Tesla is from the actual man Tesla, and a lot of people didn't know his name. And he, I think it was either worked at, he's the one, Tesla basically, I think, worked under Edison or for Edison or maybe with Edison. They're like, they're around each other is the point. And I don't know the exact, like, if he worked for him or with him in that like capacity, but Tesla was the one who figured out, I think, electricity first, or maybe it wasn't that he figured it, like him and Edison figured it out together perhaps, but Tesla wanted it to be free. The whole idea was like making it free. And I think that's like where the solar powerness and like electric all comes in, that idea of using the sun's energy. I'm not sure if that was quite his plan. I don't know if we knew we could do that yet. That makes sense. I don't know all that. But his whole, I do know that he wanted it to be free. And then Edison profited a fuck ton off electricity. Edison was like, why would we do that when we can make money? And that's literally why electricity cost us money. And there are so many better resources to get our electricity, like the effortlessness, not effortlessness, but just truly the amount of solar energy that could be supplying, you know, all these things we figured out that, and like, but that would be so much healthier and better for the planet, because at the rate we're moving, and the way electricity just costs so much fucking money, all because some guy said so, you know. And that was, so anyway, Tesla got like buried. He never got credited with it, because Edison is the one now that we like credit with that. But very funny of Elon Musk, because Teslas are not affordable. Well, I guess now they've made more. And so maybe they are a little more affordable. I'm not quite sure, because they've gotten more popular. I know that
they're not like as expensive as
they
were
when they first came out. Right.
As you would think for a nice car like that. But like, yeah.
But it's funny to me that all I wanted to say in comparison to Elizabeth Holmes, it's funny to me how Elon Musk really credits and honors Tesla, this guy who was like, this should just be a right for human beings, as he is one of the most richest motherfuckers in the game. And also didn't really like do these inventions himself, like had a team of people that he profits off of that create his things. Right. Yeah. That's why they're, and, you know, and him. And again, it's like his vision is like there, but he's like the worst. And it's just really funny to kind of see that comparison with Elizabeth Holmes. It's like, why doesn't this add up? Why is your messaging and the vision like a good thing, but you as a human are shit, or like you're not the best? It's really interesting. Yeah. I kind of am like, so was it never about human beings for her, and more about the fame of being the inventor? That's somehow how I look at it with like Elon Musk too.
I think that the documentary kind of shows that, which is interesting. So upsetting, because I want Aquarians to be better, but but I looked it up, and Thomas Edison is also an Aquarius. Wanting to skip the steps and just has the idea. Mm-hmm. And it like really gets me thinking, like, because I don't know, so many of the biggest, most famous Aquarians are about ideas, but it always works better when it's like they're spreading a message of love, or like, I don't know, like you think of Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent, the musical, or like Eckhart Tolle or Oprah Winfrey, or like, you know, it's great to be an idea person if you're not like committing fraud.
Do you think these Aquarians have, God bless them, Capricorn undertones?
Well, Thomas Edison has like all his planets in Capricorn except for the Aquarius sun. Jonathan Larson does not, I don't think.
And again, I don't mean that to say Capricorn is a bad sign. I do just think, though, it's really interesting that Aquarius is all about this collective, you know, sort of energy. But I think there is a lot of you have to set yourself up for success before you can set up others sort of energy when it comes to Capricorn. Capricorn is,
or you have to ground in. Right. Like it's
just kind of interest. And I think sometimes that can maybe be, if that's more of the focus, the community is less, or like the bigger, why are we doing this? You know, at the end of the day,
right.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting. And it got me thinking like, God damn it. I totally do this with astrology. Like it's like my way, I think, of like cutting corners and being like, well, if I can figure things out and predict the future, then maybe I don't have to put my nose to the grindstone. Anyway, but I had a whole moment.
But you're self-aware,
when I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And you've
come clean to us, to me and the listeners.
But yeah, then Elizabeth has Pisces moon, which also very imaginative. But, you know, the dark side of Pisces is a little bit delusional, right. Which I think, you know, I have Aquarius and Pisces together, and it's you have to ground in.
The ideas are there. The follow through is sometimes absent a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's like the ideas are plenty. The follow through, I don't know what is that? What is follow through? No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah. Oh my God. But
interesting.
Yeah, her chart's interesting. We don't have her rising, unfortunately. Bummer. But a stellium in Scorpio with three Mars conjunct Saturn conjunct Pluto in Scorpio is very powerful. So that's the part of her that like does just really want power, honestly.
Interesting.
Like Mars and Pluto together has a lot of willpower. Mars is the will, it's how you assert yourself, it's Aries. And then Pluto is like the underworld and that like subterranean power that is sort of just like it's an outer planet, but it's like within you if it's connected to a personal planet. But yeah, but actually, you know, if Saturn is closely connected to a planet, because Saturn's the planet of restriction, they say that it's like Saturn and Mars together can be like, sure, you have a lot of willpower, but Saturn is restrictive. So it like it's a late bloomer. It takes time. It's always like you have to put in a little bit more effort than the average person if you don't have Saturn, you know, if someone didn't have Saturn there. Yeah.
Interesting.
And Uranus sextile the sun is very inventive. Uranus is the planet of Aquarius and Sagittarius, again seeing great heights. Jupiter and Neptune. Jupiter is expansive, sees great heights, but like with Neptune there can be a little bit delusional, a little bit greedy.
The greed, yeah. That's yeah. Cuz I'm also like the Pisces, I get the ideas, but I'm kind of like Lizzie was maybe not tapped into that moon when she was taking money.
I know.
I could not do that. I would be afraid of this.
Like, it's so sad, but the Aquarius part of me does think like it's also so principle like motivated. Like I don't think I would ever do what she did, but I like can understand the mentality of like,
I have to do this now.
Well, this is gonna work out. Like even Jonathan Larson, when you watch Tick Tick Boom, like I'm very inspired by him, and with him, it like more so takes the form of art, but he was like struggling for so long. And the musical he made in Tick Tick Boom, that was like a weird ass sci-fi musical. Everyone was like, dude, this doesn't make sense. And like, but he saw the vision and he was like, if I could just keep with it, like I know there's something there. And then like, you know, by 35, finally he made the thing. But it's like, it's
funny.
Like the starving artist or the, you know, like you have an idea that motivates you and Heather, everything else is like...
It is. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to interrupt.
No, I was done.
You are blowing my mind and reminding me of something I totally forgot about until right this very moment. And maybe we've already talked about this story, so my apologies. But Jonathan Larson, right, is like the sole credited human of Rent, right? We know
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I have a friend. I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to out her. And she's she basically had a client come in and just was making small talk with them and was asking them. Now, I feel like my friend's a therapist and like they told me something that's not what it is. But like it's more just like she works at a place where like, you know, she sometimes gets some higher end clientele, and that's like the only reason we'll hear about the like the visit sometimes. Jesus, I feel like I'm making this so much worse. My friend works at, she's a dermatologist, so she works in a dermatology office here in New York, and like obviously there's, you know, she's not ever trying to break patient
confidentiality,
right, but every now and then she'll be like, this person was like visited today, like a famous person, or like, you know, or like I did get to like and a lot of, you know, and I never hear about what they're in there for. It's more just like, you know, it could be a checkup for all I care. Anyways, we know celebrities take care of their skin. This isn't news. But she had a guy come in and was just making small talk. And when she asked him like what he did, he talked about being a playwright. And she was like, oh, anything I would maybe know or seen. And he kind of scoffed and laughed a little. And he was like, have you ever heard of Rent? And she was like, that guy died. Like, there's a whole movie about it. What do you mean? And she was like, maybe he's talking about a completely different play. And turns out, like, she kind of did all this, like, research because she knew his name and was like, is he talking? Like, later on, she was like, is he talking about Rent? And now I guess I'm kind of outing him if anyone was to research this, but I trust the listeners. But when she looked it up, he is, like, the composer. So much of the composing and the idea of making it a more rock musical, I guess, came from this guy. And him and Jonathan Larson had a lot of issues and disagreed a lot creatively. And he essentially got like no credit for Rent. But it like it was Jonathan's idea. He even said that to my friend. But so much of the actual composing and work and like lines ended up being this guy, it turns out. And when you do look into it more specifically, he is like, we know Jonathan Larson is credited with Rent, but you just reminded me that I heard this story, and now you're like, and Jonathan Larson's also an Aquarius, and there is kind of this, that's like crazy. When you look more into the Rent credits is all I'm saying, he's not as, there's, I think, a lot more of an underbelly there. And it sounds like it was more of John Larson's, like, maybe I have this totally backwards. Maybe it was this other guy's idea and Jonathan Larson is the one who did all the composing. I could be wrong. I could have that switched. I just know that if you look more into the research of the creators of Rent, this guy pops up a ton more and is just not credited the same. And it's just interesting now that we're talking about this in an Aquarius avenue of like this similarity. And again, like, it is just so funny, Heather, because you are not someone I have ever known to cut corners in a way that you take credit. I've been friends with Heather since college. I've watched her write all of her own work when we've done like student theater and when we put up and produce shows. So I would like
a heavy Saturn Capricorn,
I was just gonna say, I would like to disagree with you a little bit, because I do notice your work ethic, and I don't think you are a cutting corners type, but
I try to think my way out of like practical reality,
a work strategy in a sense as well. There is a lot of success stories have a little bit of sprinkle of delusion in them, right? Like there is totally sort of you gotta risk it for the biscuit, right? You gotta kind of get a little, that's sort of what it is, right? Whenever we talk about like manifesting, and it's like, what is the biggest, most insane dream you can think of for yourself? There are some people who achieve it. And I do think it requires thinking a little delusionally. Just saying. Those big heights, or, you know.
Yeah. Or an out of the box. I mean, even Paris Hilton like became I guess you could say she's born into fame. But like she was like the first person to be like famous for partying. Or like there's something about Aquarius too that's like, let me figure out a way to have fun and I can like do it in an inventive.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Holmes, God, it can be.
Which, did she grow up with money? Do you know? Like, where did she come from in the first place to sort of even be in the realm to pitch something like this?
I don't know. Sorry. I know that she like impressed a lot of professors at whatever college she went to.
Okay.
And she like, that was her first like way that she got credibility was from, yeah, impressing professors at college. Built. I don't know if she came from money. I can't speak on that.
Interesting. I'm totally going to watch the documentary. I'm very fascinated.
You should. It's so good. I highly suggest it.
The Going Clear documentary is
she's
great.
She's a weirdo. Oh my God. Yeah. No, I love Going Clear. Yeah. Anyway. And now I'm like, I want to look into the sign of the people behind Fire Festival and like that shit show. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you this Jonathan Larson story? I'm sorry, I just sprung that on you.
No, I know, and I'm too. A little bit like know, processing and a little bit like, oh God.
And again, I could have that totally wrong. I might have that flipped of it was this guy's idea and Jonathan Larson wrote it. But I had always understood that story as that was Jonathan Larson's baby and the like poetic ass way and the way he died right before it saw Broadway officially, you know, it was so tragic. But this guy definitely wasn't lying was the interesting thing. His right. name was all over that shit. And I was just like, why don't more people know this guy also worked a lot? You know, it's just like we act like Jonathan Larson is the soul. And it's just interesting again with the Elizabeth Holmes, the Thomas Edison, yeah. like, I don't think Aquarians are bad, but I do think, yeah, maybe the getting ahead of yourself, like you were saying, can create a very specific whirlwind, so to speak. Perhaps. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have to look more. Yeah. I was going to say, check my sources. I was trying to quickly. Not trying to
Google
upset
it,
the theater.
Music arranged by Steve Skinner.
I also do not remember this guy's name whatsoever.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Because like, I admire that Aquarius has these far out ideas.
Yes.
But you need other shit to make it something.
You can't steal.
I know.
It's okay to have the far out ideas.
I feel like
it's
Robin Hood
like...
is like an Aquarius archetype.
It's like, well, I'm stealing or I'm doing this for the greater good, for a bigger.
Yeah.
It's almost like that power like, and that drive of for the greater, for the bigger. But it's like, but technically you will just maybe get in trouble and like it'll keep you from this greater good business you're after. Right. Like you can get in your own way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Fascinating. Elizabeth Holmes. Sweetie, when you get out of jail, come on the pod.
Yeah, I know.
Does she,
oh my
yeah,
God.
How long did she, do you know when she went to prison?
I don't know. How long? Fairly
she's
recently.
To be there?
I think it was maybe like 2 or 3
okay,
years ago.
Okay, so more
that
on the
she,
recent side.
Yeah.
Damn.
She'll probably be there for a bit longer.
Oh, wow.
I love that she's friends with Jen Shah. If you knew Jen Shah, she's like the ultimate villain of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
And they're
committed
friends
huge
in prison.
Credit card fraud in there. It's just
they're
so
bonding.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about Elizabeth's chart please. Before we move on is it's also interesting that there's like really not too many harsh aspects, meaning red lines. Mm. Like when you look at
right.
it, like most of the planets are in harmony, which can be good or bad. Like sometimes that's like you kind of need tension in order to have that like discourse between planets and to have that like help or like, you know, like the friend to check
right.
you. Like, the planet to keep you in check.
It's like all of her planets are equally as delusional as she is.
but the sun is square. Yeah, it's a Mars problem. It's so interesting. And Mars is the planet of action and actually like getting shit done. But like Mars is very debilitated in this chart.
It's like that meme of like me mentally unwell and my also equally as mentally unwell friend agreeing with me or like me being delusional and my delusional friend agreeing with me. Like,
yeah. I've seen. Yeah.
Like
she,
I hear what you so mean funny. About like the harmony can almost be like, exactly. You need a little like check yourself. You need almost a voice to be like, oh, wait, bitch, that's mm-hmm. stealing. Wait, bitch, you're going to serve time. Let's pause.
Oh Lord, it's so funny.
That is interesting, because yeah, you almost would imagine something like sharp red lines, because this one's all over the place. But
sometimes
those signs that are in the most harmony are the ones you're like, whoa, and you don't see it coming either, because mm-hmm. or it's very like, oh, that was sneaky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah, Liz Green says you want an equal amount of like tension and harmony. ideally.
Wow. That's really, I know I just keep saying interesting, fascinating, but it is.
Kind of profound, yeah. Right? Like, yeah.
And again, just like the cycles and the ebbs and there's no such thing as really harmony in our nature and in our reality. And in
yeah,
our world.
You need conflict.
The harmony comes from being comfortable with the disharmony. Disharmony?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah, totally. we have a week, Miranda.
Oh, boy, do we.
Not the most intense week of the year by any means, but it's an exciting one, I think. I think we're more so feeling Aquarius this mm-hmm. week because, yeah, the sun was traveling ahead of all the personal planets. This week we have the new moon in Aquarius on February 9th, which also marks the Chinese Lunar New Year.
Yes.
And then
you have the dragon baby. Let's get it.
Yeah. And then Mercury enters Aquarius right after, and then Mars enters Aquarius right after. So I'll break it down. February 8th, which is Thursday when this comes out, Sun in Aquarius squares Uranus and Taurus. I'm not too excited about this, or maybe I am. But anyway, basically Uranus has been in Taurus for a while, dancing around there for the past few years, and it's supposed to bring like sudden insights and shakeups and chaos, but also breakthroughs with Taurus earthy matters, wherever that falls in your chart. So I think this is significant because we're entering a Pluto period. The sun is obviously a very important planet, and a square is a very like impactful energy. So we're going to be dealing with like Aquarius themes coming up against Taurus themes, and how to bring the two together in a perfect Jonathan Larson. No, Jonathan Larson doesn't have Taurus moon. Never mind. Anyway. then on Friday, the new moon in Aquarius. Super exciting. Really feeling Aquarius. Fresh starts before the next one would be a Virgo full moon later on. And then February 10th, which is Saturday, right after the new moon, Mercury will enter Aquarius and square Jupiter in Taurus. So again, bringing these Taurus versus Aquarius themes, but that's a bit more of a lively, expansive energy. And then February 13th, Mars enters Aquarius, but it will meet Pluto before it does so, because Pluto is standing still right at the start of Aquarius, but these quick personal planets have to like go over Pluto before they rest in Aquarius.
Interesting.
So
loaded energy.
Yeah. It feels like this is the week we really like get into Aquarius more so with Mars and Mercury and the new moon.
We finally like fully shed that Capricorn. And like,
yeah,
indulge.
But then also deal with this tension with Taurus, right. So that's interesting.
There's always an earth sign to keep
theme.
Us in our place. God bless them.
Yeah. But I think that's like also a theme for the entire year, because Jupiter and Uranus are like slower planets that are hanging out in Taurus,
right?
And Aquarius is the slowest, or sorry, Pluto is the slowest planet that's hanging out in Aquarius. So. Yeah, I don't know. This is very advanced, but it's a big year for Taurus Aquarius people.
Yeah, they keep or like you mean those placements specifically, like signs, but like having like,
yeah, if you have any planets there
you might see
moon,
some
rising
big movements there or what have you. Yeah, I love the fresh start business. I love the lightness of air. It just feels like air in itself, this energy. Again, we're coming out of winter, we're slowly moving into spring. We've just crossed the like threshold of the sun is staying out longer again. We're officially out of the darkest days. There's like a general overall more lightness. We want to spread those wings, we want to float a little bit and get ready for what's to come. It does feel very like fresh start, which I love. And yeah, so many loaded like new moon in Aquarius, Lunar New Year, like you said, year of the dragon, just a whole new, and then the astrological new year comes like a month after that. So it is like the last of the like gear up, right? It's
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Love this time.
And I forgot the buzzword that astrologer Channing Nicholas used to describe this week, but it's like expect the unexpected, basically, because Aquarius has big ideas, sudden insights. It can be a little bit spontaneous and crazy. And then Uranus, Aquarius's ruling planet, is also heavily involved. So it can be like sudden ideas and breakthroughs, but also just like surprises.
Interesting. I need a new word. I've been saying that. I'm like so aware.
I know. What do you say when I just bitchin. Like talk at you about, yeah, bitchin'.
That's so boss.
That's hot.
That's hot.
To quote an Aquarius.
That's hot. Yeah. I'm an Aquarius. Hot. No, I'm just, yeah, I'm engaging and feeling the lightness, Heather. I hope you are too, listeners. Love and light, especially light. Just a little light. And yeah. Love, of course. We've got this. We are one. Don't lose sight. We are connected, even when we feel alone or pissed off at our fellow humans or disappointed in them. The light always outweighs, baby. It just simply does.
I love how you put that. Wow.
Yeah. I've been watching too many space movies.
It's very Aquarius.
I know. I literally want a star or like a, I want like a map of the sky. I'm like, screw land. I want to get out there. Give me an aerial me view too. Of this whole bitch. Third eye, the universe.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, right? I digress. Listeners, we love you. This is the year of replenishment and abundance. Get at it. Love you.
Love you.
Au revoir. Bye.